Right. Well, good morning once again, and if you would, we'll read to you from the book of Isaiah today. Isaiah chapter 9. And if you come back this evening at 6 o'clock, we'll light that middle candle, which is the Christ candle. Which is usually lit on Christmas Eve when you have the Christmas Eve service, or on Christmas Day recognizes the birth of Christ. We'll also have communion that we'll serve together and partake of together. And then to end the service with the candlelights. And why do we do candle lights at a service like that? This day, thereabouts, the 21st actually, represents the darkest day of the year. And so why we celebrate the birth of Jesus then is to recognize that Jesus has come into our dark world. And even in the darkest of days, it cannot swallow the light. The light itself swallows up the darkness. And so we light those candles as an affirmation that Jesus Christ is the light of the world that swallows up the darkness of the world, that takes on our sin and our death, and it is no more. And that's why we celebrate as such. So I hope you will come back. We'll do a 45-minute service of our Christmas Eve portion at 6 o'clock to 6:45. And like I said, the kids, if you want to come in your pajamas, you're welcome to do so. All right, book of Isaiah and chapter 9 and beginning at verse 1 here. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of God for the people of God. This comes to us from the Old Testament, and we see it repeated even in the New Testament. And this is the prophetic voice of Isaiah, who is proclaiming that for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. How awesome that is, that he can, with a prophetic voice, proclaim the good news of Jesus being born into the world many hundreds of years prior to its coming about. Jesus, you see, is our rescuer. He is our Savior. And He is a most capable rescuer and most capable Savior. Now, if a dog and an adult man are drowning in a pool, and they're struggling, and you are on the side of the pool, and you've got one lone life preserver, lifesaver with you, and you can throw it to one or the other, who are you going to throw it to? And let's just say that dog is a Labrador, you know, beautiful looking dog and all that kind of stuff. Who are you going to throw the life preserver to? More often than not, as people have been asked this question, people in turn choose to throw the life preserver to the dog rather than to the person. Did you know that? They choose the dog over the person. Now, there's no history there other than people tend to hurt us sometimes, don't they? People sometimes lie to us. People sometimes, say or do things that cause us to distrust them. But a dog just loves you unconditionally, doesn't it? And so you just throw that life preserver to the dog thinking that that's the right choice, because you know as soon as that dog comes out, they're not going to say, well, you broke my bones or you almost nearly drowned me or anything like that, or sue you over not doing it fast enough. The dog's going to lick you to death. Now, some people here don't like for a dog to lick them to death, okay? I'm not one of those persons, you know. But I do know people that's like, you know, I don't want a dog, you know, doing that. Because we kind of tend to believe that they love us unconditionally. Really. Unconditionally. Well, a dog's going to lick the face of the person who just stole $1 million too, isn't he? Dog's going to lick the face of someone that just committed murder, isn't he? You see, there's no accountability in that unconditional love. But Jesus has loved us too with an unconditional love, but a love that calls us to change, that calls us to transformation. He is our rescuer, but He's not going to leave us in our sin. He is our Savior, but He's not going to leave us in a deplorable state. We must offer our change unto the Lord. We must be obedient. We must make ourselves, in essence, worthy of the salvation that we have been given. Now, I know we don't make ourselves worthy, but we should strive in all humbleness and the fear of the Lord to do what is right in the eyes of God. You know, a dog is just going to love on anybody that feeds it. But our God seeks to love you and me. Saturday Night Live put out this joke here recently. And they meant for it to be a joke. I looked at it with all seriousness. And they said, in the joke, that one writes for the other comedian to say, so it's supposed to be like they're not supposed to say it. And it's talking about the Muslims and and the Jewish people, and then it went on to say, but really what all they need is Jesus. Now, they meant for it to sound like a joke, and for the unbeliever it was a joke. But for me to hear it, everyone in this world needs Jesus in their life. The Muslim needs Jesus. There is no salvation apart from Christ. The Jewish person needs Jesus. There is no salvation apart from Christ. Jesus indeed was a Jew. His 12 disciples were Jews, and yet they proclaim, "Follow Jesus." There was a reason for that. And thank God that we who are Gentiles have been grafted in to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we would be a people without hope. We would have no salvation. It is because the plan of Jesus was to be Israel, the King of Kings, for all peoples and for all times. How can this little bitty baby become a capable rescuer, a capable savior? How does a little baby, the baby can't accomplish anything. Yet God has accomplished much through this little bitty baby, hasn't He? For it is the gift of God to the whole world. How many of us, if we're having a heart operation, that we call up our tax preparer and say, "Can you be at our heart operation to perform surgery on such and such date?" No, we wouldn't do that, would we? Because it would seem foolish, wouldn't it? They're not a person that is prepared or capable of performing such surgery. Nor would we ask for somebody in some other position or expertise to do something totally out of their field, would we? It wouldn't make sense. But it is in the field of God to be the Savior of the world. And in doing so, He is the very Son of God, very God Himself, offered as this little child to bring hope into the world. Without blemish, vulnerable to the evils of the world. And yet this child is to grow up and to die on the cross and to be the capable Savior of the world simply because He is too God and man and takes on the sins of the world and overcomes second death. How wonderful this is. In this scripture, the Midianites, "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them." For us, we know that the yoke that burdens us is sin and death, and Jesus has overcome. For Gideon, God proclaimed to His army that already in its might, Gideon's might, if you were to size up like football teams against one another, you would say that Midian's army was like the San Francisco Giants of today and the 49ers, excuse me, San Francisco 49ers of today, you know, a juggernaut team compared to the 10-year-old peewee team. Who's going to win? That was what was about to happen. And God says to Gideon, "Reduce your army. It is too big." And so He reduces it by thousands in half. And God says, "No, it's still too large." And He reduces it all the way down to 300 men. There is no way 300 men are going to be able to defeat this 100,000 man strong army of the Midianites, who are all very professional warriors. And yet God makes it happen, doesn't He? God instructs Gideon what to do and to break up the jars of oil and to march. And in doing so, it appeared that they were far numerous than the Midianites, confused in warfare during the night, began slaughtering one another, thinking that one another was the enemy. The 300 came in and destroyed the Midianite army. God makes possible what is impossible with man. It is possible with God. God has made possible what is impossible with man for us to overcome on our own sin and death. We are powerless. But through God, through this little baby, through the gift of God, He will make possible the way for our salvation. And how dare that people in this world ignore it? They're deceived by the evil one. They're made to think, well, I'm in good health. I don't need God. I've got plenty of things. I've got everything I want under the Christmas tree. I don't need God. To people who even say in their own hearts, I don't believe. To people who will choose other faiths over the one true God. There's the story of a man in a drawbridge and his son. You've heard this story before. And it's the story in which there's this ship coming down the river nearing where the drawbridge is, and the man is supposed to raise the drawbridge, and there's hundreds and thousands of people on this ship, and they're enjoying a party with one another. They're eating, they're drinking, they're laughing. And unbeknownst to the father, the son gets trapped in the cogs of the drawbridge, and he has a quick decision to make. One is to raise the drawbridge, and therefore his son is dead, or not raise the drawbridge, and all the passengers on the ship most likely would perish. Now, this is just a story. It's not real. But it does make you think. And be honest with you, if I were placed in that spot, I'd have to let the thousands go perish. You may think differently of me for that, but that's how I would have to act. I'd have to save my son. The thing is, in this situation, it's not true to the true position of God sending His Son to the cross. It is God Himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who has sent Himself to die on the cross, who has made the sacrifice, not of His Son, but of Himself, for the salvation of people all around the world. But the thing is, in that story, it is the man takes up the drawbridge, his son dies, and everybody on the ship goes by, and they're still drinking, and they're still laughing, and they're still enjoying their meal, and so on and so forth. Unbeknownst all along that this great sacrifice had been made. You see, that's what's going on in our world today. The sacrifice has already been made. The gift and promise of God has already occurred. The people go on as if it hasn't. And they've rejected the one true gift of Christ Jesus, who offers Himself as a substitute for our sin and death, that we might glory in His life forever. Had somebody tell me one time, just going over the salvation and how it basically means. They said, "Well, why don't everybody accept it? Why doesn't everybody accept it? It's so easy. It's so easy. What's salvation the way you present it? Why doesn't everybody do it? Because everybody chooses not to. Some choose to. We come together this day to proclaim and to choose once again. And we do so through the singing of the Christmas songs. And we do so through the hearing of preaching. And we do so through this time of worship. And we say once again in our own hearts, Lord, thank you. We have need of you and want of you in our lives. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, now and forever. Amen. Would you turn?